recorded live.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome once again to the Student of the Game. I am Kyle Nash, the Student of the Game, here with you once again on another awesome Monday following lots of football action. Though not all the football action we expected because snow. I mean, let's be clear for you guys. In Buffalo, it's not like there was a large area of snowfall in Buffalo, but just in the area surrounding the stadium, the average downpour of snow was 71 inches. Damn. Okay. But to get it straight, I heard one particular reporter from Buffalo being interviewed. His name escapes me. Said that one time he saw 32 inches. This is more. Anyway, talking about snow, we're in Florida, whatever, enough of that. Let's let the people know. Hey, I know one person in this city that snow does not intimidate because he's a firefighter. He deals with fires, not snow. Chris, welcome back once again. Of course, fighting through the traffic to get here for Sumter County. He's even sports a T-shirt.
Didn't even have time to change.
That's what's up. And, of course, one man may have to deal with fires. Another man likes to deal with hot beats. I refer to none other than Weasel Weasel.
Yeah, boy.
Oh, that's what I'm talking about. I think we got that one right and pretty solid there, too. Something else that was gotten right? You, by listening to the show here on NGSC Sports, bringing you football talk just the way you like it here. Of course, I am Kyle Nash, the student of the game. You heard that part earlier, but I'm also the author of The Matchup Mania, which you'll see on NGSCSports.com. Lots of good times there. Basketball, football, college and pro, a little bit of bonus coverage there. And I guess if you really want baseball, yeah, that's there too. And hacky. Yeah, enough about that. We're here for football. Screw that. Anyway, so Thursday night, by the way, this rampant snowfall means that there's a game in Detroit and has nothing to do with the Lions, the Bills. Of course, they're playing the Jets there. This is why we'll not have that for you at this time. Well, because let's just put it this way. We don't get concession stand money for covering that game. So, yeah, that's right.
Did you see that they were, before they did the game, they were trying to get people to come out and help clear the snow, and they're going to pay them 10 bucks an hour to come clear the snow.
Yeah.
And a free ticket to the game.
Well, right. But here's the thing about – here's the fundamental problem that they had. It wasn't – well, I mean, part of it was the driving ban to get people out there. That was an issue. But let's just say they got everyone there that they needed to shovel the snow. It's 6 to 8 feet high where the seats are in the stadium. Where the hell are you going to put it? You're kind of stuck at that point. I mean, look, I'm not trying to talk like I'm an expert about snow being a Floridian. I mean, I saw it one time in the mountains of Switzerland or whatever. But, you know, that's a problem. Where do you put it? They had to wait for the right temperature to melt it all. And I think leading up to that weekend, it might have been 50 degrees. Ooh, maybe you won't need a sweater. You know, come on. It's not going to be enough to do the job. I mean, here's what they should have done, Chris. Instead of dudes shoveling the snow, right, you get all these people, right, and you get them with hair dryers and just...
Yeah, that's what I was thinking also.
Right?
Yeah.
I thought about hair dryers. Deal with it, Weasel. That means nothing.
Whatever works for you.
Hey, you're judging me about the man crush with JJ Watt again.
I was actually thinking of with them shoveling out the snow and everything, like coming in with the team from baseball. Never really a big dome.
Comb the stadium. That was, if you don't know what that scene is, Rent Spaceballs. I don't care if you like Mel Brooks or not. If you don't find that movie funny, you're the problem. You want to know what else is a problem? Streaks. One continued, one ended. Thursday night, Chris.
It's been over a year since the Raiders won a game, and finally they got a notch in the win column against AFC West opponent, the Chiefs, 24-20.
368 days. By the way, I think even Derrick Rose came back before that. Anyway.
The Raiders got some help from young running backs since Run DMC and Mojo have been inefficient. And Latavius Murray, ex-UCF alum, second-year player.
That's right.
He had 4 attempts, 112 yards, and 2 touchdowns for a long of 90 yards.
Well, why'd they take him out?
He left with a concussion.
Oh.
And he also lost a fumble on the concussion. Well, no, actually, he didn't lose it.
No, he recovered it.
But, you know, the Chiefs had someone else, you know, good running back of their own. Jamal Charles had 19 carries, 180 yards.
Okay.
He also had 4 catches for 42 yards with a touchdown. And neither QB was impressive, but they didn't make any mistakes. You know, Alex Smith, 20 for 36, 234 yards and 2 touchdowns. The second touchdown, now the streak still continued as tight end Anthony Pizzano for the touchdown, so still no receiver has a touchdown for the Chiefs.
So what is it, 11 weeks, check that, 11 games, 0 touchdowns to a receiver on a pass.
Correct.
For the Kansas City Chiefs. I mean, that in itself is impressive. Right? You know what? Pop quiz, gentlemen. More impressive as an occurrence, an actual team going 0-16 or an actual football team going 0-for-the-season with passes to a wide receiver for a touchdown, Weasel.
Well, of course, the bizarre one is the latter one. So,
I think they might be pretty damn bizarre.
You have to put a little stipulation and still have a winning record with the no pass to a receiver.
I'm not even going to do that. You're right. That's even more odd, but I'm just going to leave it where I put it. And I think Weasel's on the side of no receiving touchdowns to a wide receiver. Right, I'm getting a nod. He forgot the straight deal.
Yeah.
Okay, Chris.
Yeah, I'd say no touchdown for a receiver.
You know, I'm gonna have to agree with you guys. Anyways, but hey, nonetheless, that's not an issue. The Raiders win a game competing here, Chris.
Yeah, and James Jones had the winning touchdown catch for the Raiders. David Carr was 18 for 35, 174 yards. Difference in the game, really. Raiders were 2 for 2 in the red zone. The Chiefs were 1 for 3. But it comes down to third down as the Raiders were 50% to Kansas City was 2 for 14, 14% on third down.
So short version is the Raiders were really good on third down and the Chiefs weren't, period.
I think there's one more thing.
Where you got, Weasel?
Eric Berry,
yes.
The safety for the Chiefs. He was
the news broke today.
Yeah, he's going on the non-football illness list because he's got a mass in his chest.
Yes, but they're thinking it might be connected to the leukemia. They don't know for sure yet. They're hoping for the best, but expecting the worst.
With possible lymphoma.
Or I said leukemia. I meant lymphoma.
Yeah.
Thank you, Weasel. Thanks for the correction.
That'll be a blow to their defense if he's gone too long.
Yeah, and you never want to hear that kind of news. I mean, it's bad enough to hear about it when someone's injured, let alone something terminal like this. So, thoughts and prayers, obviously. Eric Berry is a dude who is who's pretty popular in the league. As it stands, he's a big name. I know we've talked about him some on this show. Best of luck to him there. Hopefully the best does ensue, and hopefully his life won't be shortened. And I won't even get into the football part of it because he's not concentrating there, but maybe, just maybe, it'll be fine. And who knows, he'll at least be around to support his Chiefs for an extended period of time. So moving to the next game, Titans, Eagles. Weasel, take us through this catastrophe.
The Eagles wasted no time in scoring as the Eagles ran back the opening kickoff 107 yards.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
I guess that's one way if you're worried about Mark Sanchez starting to keep him off the field.
It's kind of funny. All these kicks to the end zone,
right?
People aren't usually putting their knees down if you think you're really good. Like Patterson does this. Hester does it.
I like how you say it. If you think you're really good, we've seen it go wrong.
Yeah. So what they're doing, like even Cordell Patterson took one like 14 yards back towards the end. And a lot of them are taking it out. And you can maybe get some good yards off of that or otherwise.
Yeah, I mean, you're rolling the dice. I mean, ever since they moved the kickoff up, I guess that 3 or 4 years ago now, you're seeing more and more people run it out. And the thing that we still think is funny is, remember the first game where they moved it up, it was the Saints and the Packers. Randall Cobb, and I'm going to guess Darren Sproles, each took one to the house that night on their respective opening kickoffs. Remember, might not have been the opening one for the Saints. It might have been the one they got the second kickoff they took. But both teams had a kickoff return even after that.
And Randall Cobb was very impressive in that one.
What, 106, right?
Right, but I mean, he broke like 3 tackles or 4 tackles, spun around and everything.
Anyway, so I got your damn rule. I don't know.
All right. Titans rookie quarterback Zach Mettenberger.
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 Come on, man.
His nickname is the future. Threw for 345 yards, 2 touchdowns, 1 INT. Mark Sanchez, 30 of 43, 1 touchdown, 2 INTs. You got LeSean McCoy, 21 carries for 130 yards and a touchdown. Sproles scored a touchdown of his own. And Delaney Walker.
Delanie Walker, yes.
Yes, he had 5 catches for 159 yards.
When you saw that, did you say, damn? Because that's what I said.
Pretty much.
Okay.
So Justin Hunter and Dexter McCluster had touchdowns in the air. And also, and then there's rookie wide receiver Jordan Matthews, who's having a good season this year.
Yeah, he's really turning around. I'm not going to quite put him ahead of Kelvin Benjamin or John Brown or any of those guys yet for the Rookie of the Year award, but he's done some things.
So pretty much the half score, at halftime the score was like 27-17.
Yep.
And in the second half, Eagles scored a touchdown, 3 field goals to the 2 field goals by the Titans late in the fourth quarter. So they ran away with the victory. And good old Mark Sanchez, can he ever go back to being the Sanchez?
Well, I'll tell you this. You're talking about quarterbacks being the future. Is that Mettenberger's the quarterback of the future? He looks good at times. But there's a distinct possibility, it was best put by the friend of the show, G. Stelio of the G. Stelio Sports Hour on Friday, and Earnestly Speaking, also a Friday show here on NGFC Sports. You also hear me on Earnestly Speaking, by the way, with the segment 5 questions. I'm a student. They give me 5 questions. See how this works. I don't know. Anyway, point is this, Terry Collins 3.0, which tells me he thinks someone else is going to go in and take the job and then get it back. I don't know that I'd go that far, but if Mettenberger's your future, I'm not feeling that great about it. I would almost say I feel better about Sanchez in the Eagles system than I do Mettenberger. But let's be clear, guys. Thanksgiving, Eagles-Cowboys, this is basically a tune-up for Mark Sanchez, right? And I think this is an opportunity for him to get his confidence right, because we all know in this room, especially the Jets fan, this kid is mentally soft, right? So to get this game in might actually have helped to make this game competitive come Thanksgiving afternoon. Chris?
You got to remember the last Thanksgiving game we played was the Buck Fumble.
I forgot that was a Thanksgiving game, actually. So he needed a confidence booster because he's going to be facing that butt demon. Actually, if you've seen the movie Dogma, it's a bleep demon, right? I don't know. Anyways, but enough about that and butts and titans and whatever. That's just getting awkward. Something else that was particularly awkward, watching this game, if you happen to follow either of these teams, the Redskins and the Niners. Chris.
The Niners scored with less than 3 minutes in the game. They take a 17-13 win over the Redskins and improved to 7-4. RG3 was 11 for 19 for 106 yards with a lost fumble. Kaepernick was 20 for 29, 69%.
Hooray!
256 yards, a touchdown, and an interception. All 20 passes completions of Kaepernick went to 4 receivers. Anquan Boldin had 9 for 137 with a touchdown. Michael Crabtree had 5, Bruce Miller had 3, and Kevin Vernon Davis had 3 catches. On the ground, Alfred Morris for the Skins had 21 carries for 125 yards, 6 yards a carry with a touchdown. Yeah. Frank Gore had a lost fumble, and Carlos Hyde had a touchdown, and they lost fumble. So that was 3 turnovers for the Niners to the 1 to the Skins.
And the Skins still couldn't bleep it do it.
And actually, Skins got help because one of the fumbles they kicked the field goal on, and then another. The field goal to go up 13-10 was off a bad call. It was some kind of a penalty that shouldn't have been a penalty. It was like unsportsmanlike or illegal hit or something. I don't remember what it was, but I just know it was right to a field goal.
Yeah.
So, you know, they did get helped there a little bit. But I mean,
how much more help? 3 turnovers and a blown call. I got 3 turnovers and a blown call.
But RG3 is the 3rd worst QB rating in the NFL.
Well, okay, let's unpack a little bit there because you put out a lot. First, I'll start with RG3 and get that out of the way because they're not even relatively playoff
relevant.
Thank you. Relatively relevant. Is that redundant? I don't even know. Anyway, the point is this. Something else that is redundant is RG3 disappointing the hell out of people. In this football game, I'm not putting it on him. He was on his back more than Heather Locklear in Melrose Place, folks. There's a 90s shout-out for you there, by the way. Okay?
I'm going to have to go Google that Melrose Place.
What the hell is Heather Locklear?
Yeah, who's Heather Locklear?
No. If you like Jenna Jameson better as an example, fine. I was trying to keep it as a family show, but so much for that. Thanks, Weevil. No, but in all seriousness, I mean, the dude was under constant scrutiny and attack from that defensive line. Both Smiths on the line managed to sack RG3 on the day. And this is exactly what he was talking about in the press conference when he was talking about, hey, it takes me and all the other guys. It's an all-11 effort. And what I see here in this, the issues that RG3 is facing is the same stuff that Peyton Manning as a Colt had to face after the playoff game where Vanderjagt missed a kick that would have kept the Steelers from going from 60 to Super Bowl, right? Follow me? I know we will get this, okay? Peyton Manning said, quote, he had protection problems. Now, to be clear, he wasn't just calling out the offensive line, although primarily their job is protection. I get that. Fullbacks, running backs blew their assignments in that game, too. However, the media went relatively ape crap. It's funny. That's only about, what, 8, 9 years ago, if that? And there's that much of a difference because Twitter isn't now what it was then. But I say all that to say this. I think RG3 has been a bit of a, he's been overly criticized for his comments in the press conference. But by the same token, you're a quarterback. That's going to happen. Now with the Niners, let's unpack that real quick. How many completions, Chris? How many receivers? Check that. How many targeted players?
Four.
Now, two wide receivers you mentioned, and, of course, a fullback and a tight end. Chris Miller guy catches. I don't know why you're bitching, but seriously. Right. When it comes to distributing the football, you asked a question when we were prepping for the show. Where's Stevie Johnson?
Yeah, where's Brandon Lloyd? They were targeted one each.
Yeah.
They were targeted one each.
So we know they played in the game.
Right, they did play in the game.
And a lot of people are going to put – a lot of people already put this game being close to Kaepernick's feet, which I don't get. Each running back had a fumble in this game, and there were 3 turnovers. They had more fumbles than Kaepernick, but it's still Cap's fault. Colin Kaepernick is the Mocha Romo, okay? I'm calling it right now. But whatever, it's his fault, right? But I think you ask a legitimate question there. Maybe, and he's been cited, I think rightfully so in a lot of cases, for his ability to look down the field and find the right target, look through progression, and that could just be it citing itself. Who knows? Maybe the Skins actually played some element of defense to take Stevie Johnson out of the game. No, that doesn't sound right either. I don't know, man. This is Stevie Johnson's first year there, and when you're in line behind Crabtree and Bolden, these things happen, man. It's very easy to get overlooked. To use a basketball analogy, I would say who's the guy that looks like a velociraptor? Chris Bosh? Chris Bosh, thank you. Chris Bosh, once LeBron leaves, he gets a lot more, he gets his hands on the ball and does a lot more opening this NBA season. I think it's a similar concept there where you see Bolden getting targets because he has been. This is a guy that has had 273 yards in a single game with Colin Kaepernick receiving, okay? Vernon Davis is normally a main target but has been hurt a lot. And Crabtree, who's the bail-you-out possession receiver who makes ridiculous catches, including this past Sunday. Stevie Johnson just hasn't found his role yet, I think. But, you know, what do I know? People will call me a homer. Anyways, you're the one that's a Simpsons fan, Chris. I want to hear that. Anyways, Bucks, Bears, Weasel.
The Bears at home needed a victory, and they got it, as they beat the Bucks 21-13.
And Weasel escapes a beating from his wife as the Bears finally win a game.
Happy wife equals happy life.
Boom.
Now, this was the first time that Bucks head coach Lovie Smith met his former team. So
also Josh McCown as well, I would assume.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Josh McCown, former Bear last year, 341 yards.
So what?
One touchdown, 2 INTs, sacked 5 times, though. Bears quarterback Jay Cutler under a lot of scrutiny.
Okay, hold on.
Even more.
Thank you.
Because, he threw for 130 yards and a touchdown, but lost a fumble. So, and yeah, people are still worried about the guy.
Well,
it's just a consistency type thing.
Well, moreover, I think the best argument any Bears fan who's skeptical of Jay Cutler is, it's the Bucks! Throwing it out there.
So Matt Forte had a good game. And he had 23 carries for 89 yards and 2 touchdowns. So the Bucks do have a great wide receiver duo with Vincent Jackson. Catches 117 yards but 1 fumble. And rookie wide receiver, I guess he could possibly get rookie of the year.
He's fighting for it.
Mike Evans, he had 3 for 47.
Yeah.
So,
Lewis Murphy also put up a worthwhile performance. But, I mean, when it comes down to this game, one side had four turnovers, one side had one. Who do you think is going to win? No, Weasel, you're wrong. It's the one with only one turnover. No, seriously. I mean, you turn the ball over that much. Look, Josh McCown, take a memo. You had more turnovers in the game than Jay Cutler.
Yeah.
Let's take that in, folks. I don't care who you're a fan of. If you have more turnovers in the game than Jay Cutler, you did something wrong, at least with the way 2014 is going. I don't know. So, yeah, I mean, Lovie Smith beat his whole team. Yay. I mean, is that motivation they really needed to beat this team? We talked about this being the Bowel Bowl last week as it stood because it was full of bleep. But, you know, see, this is why I need that soundboard, that bleep sound.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah, does anyone have anything else to add or any jokes to make? Because I'm out.
No, nope, not at all.
Very good. Here's another joke of a game. Jags, Colts. you know, no former college quarterbacks did particularly well in this game. It's not to say that Blake Bortles did bad, but I don't call 15 for 27 for 146 yards on a pick something that wins games. And it didn't. Colts roll 23-3. The Jags defense did do a lot. They did get Andrew Luck to lose two fumbles. But Andrew Luck still won the game, 21 of 32 in his performance, 253 yards of a touchdown. Toby Gerhardt did a little something in the football, but only carried the ball four times and 31 yards. So I really mean a little something. The Indianapolis Colts ran the ball 35 times in this game, folks, for 175 yards. Can we please take a memo? If the Indianapolis Colts run the ball 35 times on you for 175 yards, you did it wrong. The top runner for the record was not Trent Richardson. It was Doug Heron.
Did Trent Richardson get a touchdown?
He did.
Oh, yeah. That's
fine. Good. He tripped and fell forward and got a damn touchdown. Are you happy, Weasel?
Still a touchdown.
It's still fantasy points, right?
Six points.
Whatever. He sucks, Weasel. I mean, red zone for both teams were horrible. 1 for 5 were the Colts, but 0 for 2 were the Jags. Third down percentage was obviously the difference in the game. 9 for 17 were the Colts, whereas 3 for 12 were the Jags. Whatever. Colts win another game and continue to be pretenders as true Super Bowl contenders. And, yeah, enough about that trash. Moving on to a different game, please, for the love of Pete. Bengals, Texans. Now, hey, I know you didn't have anything else to say about that game, so I moved on. Deal with it. No, I mean, did you really?
No, not really.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know what to make of the magic act, for lack of a better word, that is, I'll say identity crisis, that's better, that is the Cincinnati Bengals. But yet somehow, some way, they went out against J.J. Watt and the Houston Texans and, well, won the day, finally managed to overcome the demons that was the team that's beat them in other contests, including playoff contests, for the record. The two quarterbacks came, or actually the two teams brought their quarterbacks. One brought the red rifle, one brought a mallet. You bring a mallet to a gunfight, you're going to lose. Okay, I thought that was funny.
Yeah, he actually lost now, too.
Yeah, see.
He's out for the season.
Oh, dear. That's a problem.
To a torn pectoral muscle.
Yeah.
That sounds important if you're trying to throw the football. Anyways, 22-13, the Bengals win. I wouldn't say they roll, but before you accuse Andy Dalton of too many mistakes, yeah, he threw a pick, went 24 for 35, 233 yards and a touchdown, and converted 11 of 20 third downs, 55% versus 28% for the Texans. At the end of the day, Alfred Blue did carry the ball. Unfortunately, he was also tackled for a safety in this game. A.J. Green went all A.J. Green in this game, 12 catches for 121 yards. I mean, look, I want to call it what it is. Well, Jeremy Hill may have had 18 for 87 and a touchdown. You know, the Ginger Ninja, Andy Dalton, doing what he's getting paid to do to win this football game and keep the Bengals intact. If the Ravens win tonight, as I know I predicted, Chris, I think you may have as well, everybody in the AFC North is 7-4. That's right. All four teams, if the Ravens win tonight, will be 7-4. If the Ravens lose, they will be that guy. And I'm going to say because Joe Flacco, just because that's funny. Anyway, let's see. Let's go ahead and get this next game in here. Lions, Patriots. Chris.
The Patriots ran away with another victory, this time against the Detroit Lions, and improved to 9-2 as the Lions fall for the second week in a row to an overall record of 7-4. Patriots won 34-9.
Are in the AFC North? Oh, yeah, okay, right. It's the NFC, but it's 7-4. That's my bad.
Right. Matt Stafford is 18 for 46, 39%, 264 yards with an interception.
No, that's not all right.
Not all right at all. Tom Brady, 38 for 53, 72%, 349 yards with 2 touchdowns and an interception. After the game last week, Jonas Gray had, he was suspended this week for missing a team meeting earlier.
Okay, wait a minute. Hold up. Okay. And we went over this in prep, and I didn't have enough time to really comment on it. So what you're telling me is Jonas Gray, formerly of the practice squad of this team, comes out, has a fantastic game. Who was it? Played against the Colts, right?
The Colts, had 4 touchdowns.
4 touchdowns.
Right.
Okay. Great game. He has one good game and thinks he's, you know what? I don't need to be here. What are you going to do? Bring in LeGarrette Blunt? Oh, bleep. I get it. Help me. How do you get that big a freaking ego? Terrell Owens would even go, dude, be more humble. I'm just saying. Anyways, Chris, please.
So they did bring in LeGarrette Blunt, who was released by the Steelers.
Oh, they actually did. Yeah. Oops, I guess he got wrong.
So he had 12 attempts for 78 yards, 6.5 yards of carry with 2 touchdowns.
Does that mean that Blunt smoked the defense?
Maybe. for the Lions, Golden Tate had 4 catches for 97 yards. Megatron had 4 for 58. For the Patriots, Brandon LaFell had 9 for 98. Julian Edelman had 11 for 89. Gronk had 5 for 58. And tight end Tim Wright had 5 catches for 36 yards with 2 touchdowns.
They forgot. Hey, you know, that's what Gronk didn't necessarily have a great game. But look, pop quiz. And this is an opinion section, so I guess there's no right or wrong answer. The one player on offense not named Tom Brady that you focus on if you're playing the Patriots, Weasel.
Gronk.
Chris.
Gronk.
Okay. So he's distracted you. Guess what? Tim Wright now has 2 touchdowns, and Brandon LaFell has 9 catches for 98 yards. Chris.
Okay, so the difference in the game is Lions went 0-1 in the red zone to the Patriots 4-6. But this brings it down. Lions dropped the last 2 in a row to fall 7-4 after they were 7-2. Years past, we've always seen them jump out to a good lead at the beginning of the season, and then when it comes down to the end of the game, the end of the season, they drop and either miss the playoffs or just exit the first round of the playoffs. You see that happening again this year.
Now, look, and I understand why you're saying that, because past years say this, but there was a certain quote that Aaron Rodgers, the Packers quarterback, said after the Lions beat the Packers earlier in the season. Relax. The past 2 games were against a team that had the top record in the NFL going into this week. Okay, and the Pats, who are the top team in the AFC. Relax. Chris, you have the rest of their schedule up.
Yeah, they got the Bears, the Bucks, the Vikings, and the Bears twice.
Right.
The Bucks, the Vikings, and Packers.
Okay, so they have the Bears, who have all but fallen apart. No offense, Weasel, to your wife. The Bucks. Did you say that they have the both teams in 3 games on their schedule still?
Yeah.
10 wins makes the playoffs. There's your 10 wins right there. They're going to be fun, barring catastrophic injury, which is bad news for somebody in the NFC West. I'm just saying. But, yeah, I don't know. Anyways, I say hell no on the strength of the schedule alone. I mean, look, if any Bears fan's going to be having indigestion if that game's even close. Or I should say Lions fans, not Bears fans. Excuse me. If that game's even close. No. You know what's going to be happening on Thanksgiving? And Dominican Sue is going to be feasting on frickin' Jay Cutler. That's what's going to happen. And, yeah. So I guess not. That's a really long way of saying I think they'll be just fine. Speaking of another team who looked like they were just fine for a while, they're keeping this game closer than anyone thought. Packers, Vikings, Weasel.
In this NFC North divisional battle, the Packers on the road held on to get a victory over the Vikings 24-21. Aaron Rodgers for the Packers. 209 yards and 2 touchdowns. He's been on fire for the past many weeks. And I guess it's
that went a lot better than I thought it would.
Relax.
Relax. Thank you.
So, rookie quarterback Teddy Bridgewater had 210 yards, 2 touchdowns, but he had an interception. Packers are running back Eddie Lacy. He's kind of the big reason right now where the Packers are finally a pretty balanced offense.
Okay, I was about to say, if you're he's not a pretty big reason for them winning. That's Aaron Rodgers. But the balance, I like where you're going there. I think you're absolutely right.
25 carries, 125 yards, and a touchdown, and he had another touchdown receiving.
You know, and let me add to that, too. I think part of that is because we've talked about on this show that the Packers O-line, not exactly all that in a bag of chips. But the fact that they actually had a running game and have been forced to be in situations where they actually have to be aggressive and actually drive block has made them better in pass blocking and not be so lackadaisical about it. I mean, comparatively, if you have to pass block the whole time as a lineman, you just get kind of sick of it. You kind of get, you know, and yeah, I think injecting the run game is the way they finally have has actually made their O-linemen better. I ain't saying great. I still think Aaron Rodgers is one of the few quarterbacks to actually produce very well despite a less than stellar O-line. But Lacy's presence helps, I think.
Yep, so 8:34 remaining in the game. Vikings put together a 13-play drive that ended with a 5-yard touchdown pass to wide receiver Greg Jennings. Now, this brought the Vikings closer as they're only down by 3 with 3:23 remaining and 2 timeouts. So, but the thing is the Vikings defense cannot stop the Packers as they had 3 first downs in the game's final drive to seal the victory. So, what I am wondering, unless you got something else?
No, bring it. I came up to the mic for the question because I knew you were going to ask.
I do see that the Packers, I think they're one of the best in the NFC. And what I'm wondering is which one of the top teams in the NFC matches up best with the Packers?
The Saints. No. Chris, you got an opinion on this one? Which NFC team best lines up with the Pack?
Best lines up position-wise, or do you want to just against each other?
Biggest threat.
Biggest threat?
Yeah.
I'd say the Cardinals. Even though they didn't do so well this weekend, which we'll get to in a few minutes.
Right, right.
But I'd have to say the Cardinals because with all the offensive weapons that the Packers use, you know, the Cardinals can stop their run, and then you got Patrick Peterson and you got Honey Badger out there to cover, and then also they got a good linebacker core with the secondary. So and the Packers' secondary is suspect, so you don't need too strong of a quarterback with Carson Palmer out, you know, with Drew Stanton there with covering Fitzgerald and John Brown and Michael Floyd. So I'd have to say the Cardinals.
Speaking strictly to matchup, first of all, I'm not saying you're wrong, Chris, because, I mean, look, Patrick Peterson, Tyrann Mathieu stopped Golden Tate and Calvin Johnson. I'm cool with that. Here's where I'm at. Follow me on this. I'm saying the Cowboys, but before you throw stuff at me, let me tell you why, okay? The Packers, their big defensive players are who? Clay Matthews, Julius Peppers, Sam Shields, right? I assume Shields is still there. I don't know. Anyway, I really should have looked that up before I said it. The point is this. On defense, they have a few key players they're going to try to rely on to win the football game or at least hold the score low enough so Rodgers can bail them out. The Cowboys have a balanced offense more so than the Packers, and Tony Romo statistically is a good quarterback and gets way too much more flack than he should. Defensively, Aaron Rodgers is going to be a handful, but I see the Cowboys front, again, playing that good enough defense. If DeMarco Murray and company can keep Rodgers off the field, and I mean company, I mean, if it wasn't a cop-out today, I would give the Comeback Player of the Year award to the Dallas offensive line. Can we talk about that for a minute? Okay. And then the defense would also be a candidate for the same, you know, cop-out concept. I'm going to say the Cowboys simply because, okay, stack the box. I dare you. You still have to deal with Dez Bryant and Jason Witten. Good luck with that. Right? I mean, compelling answers. The only reason why I take the Cowboys and the Cardinals there is I like Ellington as a runner, but I would not call that offense balanced like the Cowboys is. I don't know. Just me. But one thing, whether it's just me or not, or that opinion, it is the opinion of Father Time that we go ahead and take a quick break. Let's see. Let's go this route for the break this time. You're listening to MGSC Sports. I had to get that bass drum in before we came back in. That boom. I know you heard it. You know what's up, Weasel. Anyways, we're back here on the Stream of the Game. I'm here with Chris. You heard there some autumn thunder involving equalizing. Of course, here's Chris Rankin, who equalizes fires for a living now. Booyah. And, of course, the man who equalizes any boredom into awesome Weasel Words.
Yeah, boy.
Student of the Game, of course, here. Rounding it out, the SOTG firm all the way. I like it. I like it a lot. Something else I like, to see what the Browns would do when they got Josh Gordon back. Facing the Falcons, that is exactly what we had. Weasel, walk us through it, bro.
This game came down to the final seconds as the Falcons at home lost to the Browns 26-24. So things didn't look good for Browns quarterback Brian Hoyer. As he threw for 322 yards, but he did have three interceptions.
No!
Browns rookie running back Isaiah Crowell had 12 carries for 88 yards and two touchdowns, and there was a highly anticipated return for Josh Gordon.
Yeah, that guy.
He led the NFL last year in receiving yards. Second place was Antonio Brown, but he came back finally from a, I think it was a 10-game suspension.
I would say a slew of issues, but yes, a 10-game suspension, yes.
And so he didn't really lose a step, though. He had 8 catches for 120 yards.
Yeah, let's hit that real quick. I know it's against the Falcons, who are 4-7, I think, as a football team. That's impressive. Apparently, he wasn't just sitting back around at his house.
I think the thing about it is that Brian Hoyer was I think he was like a careful quarterback. Yeah. You know, with in regards to turnovers and stuff.
One could even say game manager.
Yeah, exactly. But I think it looked like, I think he got like 10 targets or something like that, did Gordon. But the thing
Gordon
is,
Gordon got 16 targets.
16 targets?
That's a lot. But he had 8 catches out of the 16 targets.
I think he was trying to, a lot of them he was forcing.
You think so?
Yes, and that led, I mean, 3 interceptions. From that guy.
No, the evidence is there.
Yeah,
not to mention his completion percentage wasn't exactly stellar either. I would also excuse me. I would also submit that perhaps the smartest play on the day that Josh Gordon made was on a double reverse fumble that went completely wrong. Gordon managed to recover it, run outside the he wasn't even outside the pocket, but he throws it to a guy who's a receiver in the area still. Maybe that was the play call, maybe it wasn't. But very wisely on that fumble, throwing it out of bounds, saving A, the turnover, and B, the sack. I guess that would just be a tackle for loss at that point. I don't know. But the point is, excellent heads-up play, smart football all the way around, and you wouldn't see it on the stat sheet.
Yep. So Matt Ryan, on the other hand, had 273 yards, 2 touchdowns, and 1 INT. Steven Jackson, 1 rushing touchdown. Julio Jones and Jacquizz Rodgers had they had receiving touchdowns of their own.
Quiz.
So
it's a quiz.
Jacquizz? Yeah, it's a little...
Just call him Quiz.
Quiz.
On your quiz, here's a question. How do you pronounce this dude's name?
Exactly. So it's only 49 seconds remaining. Browns got the ball at the 20-yard line, needing a field goal. So there was a 7-player drive with receiving passes of 11, 24, 15, and 11 yards. So before time expired, Browns kicker Billy Cunville had nailed...
Yeah.
Yeah.
like
something.
You know, tennis the one that missed that extra point when they're raising.
Oh, that guy.
Yeah, that guy.
Yeah.
Shankopotamus.
Well, this game he nailed the 37-yard field goal for the game winner. So I don't know. It's, the Falcons are one of the biggest disappointments this season at sitting at 4-7. What do you think?
Well, here's the thing about it. The Saints are pretty disappointing, too.
Mm-hmm.
But both these, air quotes, disappointments are now 1-2 in the NFC South, the worst division in the NFL, and both vying for playoff glory.
Hey, can we talk about the Falcons, right when they kick the field goal, they go up 24-23 at the time?
Yeah.
About clock management, like this. it was minute 3 left on 2nd and 9. They completed the pass to Harry Douglas over the middle for 7 yards. So he's facing 3rd and 2.
All right.
So time's going down. It's like 55 seconds left or whatever. They call a timeout right away.
Okay.
You're looking at, is that the Cleveland 35? So you're looking at a 53-yard field goal. Cleveland has all 3 timeouts, by the way, left.
Yes.
Anyway.
Yes.
So if you let the clock run down, then you call a timeout and then try to play. The next play, they tried to go deep to Devin Hester. So he left 49 left time on the clock when they kicked the field goal with 49 seconds left.
Yeah.
Now you gave the Browns the ball back. It's a 1 point. You have a 1 point lead. You're kicking off, and the Browns still have all 3 timeouts left.
That's true. That's obviously an issue. I think that Mike Smith could have done that a little bit better. I'll grant that without question. But by the same token, you let Brian Hoyer march down the field and own you. Bro, you got to give that defense a little bit of a rough time too. But as you would probably wisely respond, Mike Smith should be aware that his defense is a sieve. So, yeah, I can see how you put that on him. That makes sense.
And also, the Falcons, they're 4-1 this year, all in against the NFC South.
4-0 in the division, lost all their other games. We have not seen that since anybody. The Raiders, the year of Tebow Mania, right? Raiders. No, it wasn't the Raiders the year of Tebow Mania because Tom Gable's still the coach. But the Raiders have gone 6-0. And still lost their all their other games before, 6-10, but yet still perfect somehow. Figure that out. So maybe the Falcons will do that too. God, who knows? Of course, the way that division's going, hell, 2 teams might do it. Then what do you do? That's an interesting concept. I guess it would depend on head-to-head at that point. But we digress entirely too far. Enough about garbage teams. Let's go to, these aren't garbage teams. These are teams that just don't get any respect. Rams, Chargers.
The Chargers at home held up a Rams comeback as the Chargers lost 27-24.
Now, they'll glaze over that because they beat the defending champs. They've beaten the defending NFC champions, AFC champions in the Broncos, and the third place team last year, the 49ers. I'm excited. Please continue.
I'll just make sure. It's the Chargers won 27-24. Rams quarterback Sean Hill, he threw for 198 yards, 1 touchdown, 2 INTs. Mid-third quarter, he lost a fumble, but it was picked up by the Rams for a 13-yard touchdown. We got Philip the Fraud Rivers.
Actually, one more thing, too. Sean King had an opportunity as well late in the fourth quarter. They were in the red zone, throws an interception, unfortunately, to end the game as well. So Sean Hill, hey, maybe taking Austin Davis out, not such a good plan.
Mm-hmm.
Put it out there, Weasel.
So Rivers was 29 of 35, 291 yards, 1 touchdown, 1 INT.
That's a good stat line.
But that interception, though, was by cornerback Janoris Jenkins, who returned it 99 yards for a touchdown.
That's a long way.
It is. So it's disappointing for the Rams has been wide receiver Tavon Austin.
Yeah.
And he was like, last year's draft, he was like the playmaker guy. And everybody, you know, loved him. He got like the 10th overall pick or somewhere around there.
Yeah.
But he did rush for 27 yards and a touchdown. Rams wide receiver Spedman Bailey had 89 yards and a touchdown.
Also drafted the same year.
Chargers Ryan Matthews had 105 yards rushing and a touchdown. Keenan Allen 104 yards and a touchdown. Lost 2 fumbles.
Oops.
So, 127 remaining in the game. Sean Hill was intercepted by Chargers safety Marcus Gilchrist. So, now do you think the Rams, because Bradford did get injured again, do you think they regret not picking one of the top quarterbacks in last year's draft? And if not, should they go first round next year? Like, you know, focus on the quarterback position.
Okay, so let's unpack that a bit. Who are the top draftees at quarterback this year? Mark them off. Give me one.
The top ones?
Don't count Johnny Manziel. He still hasn't played a game yet. Okay, there's
Blake
one.
Bortles.
Blake Bortles. Would he have done anything for the Rams?
Not so much.
I don't think so either, Chris.
No.
Okay. Teddy Bridgewater.
No.
No. Okay. Now, the defense you can give for either Bridgewater or Bortles is a better support staff, I'll grant. But you're going to have them play against the toughest defensive division in the NFL, 6 of 16 games on the schedule. You tell me if a rookie quarterback's good in that situation. Just throwing it out there. I think the Rams are damn happy to do what they're doing, and there's just a number of games where, like, for example, this one's only 3 points away from a victory. You know, I mean, it sucks. When you're the Rams, you've done some tougher stuff on your schedule and won some games you should have and then lost too many that you shouldn't have.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the Rams are damned to be in that position right now. It's just that simple. I don't know. So there you go. Speaking of people who are in easier divisions, let's go back out to the East. The Cowboys travel to the Meadowlands to face off against the Giants. Now, normally you'd hear Chris talking about this game, but hey, what can I say? He is actually working hard, and I'm a big slacker. Okay, not really. I was doing notes, but I was still watching this football game. No, you're right. I'm a big slacker. Anyway, 31 to 28, the final score on a winning drive by Tony Romo. That's right. I said it.
Because it's not the playoffs.
Actually, the correct answer is because in the final two plays of the drive, so I guess this kind of makes your answer correct, Chris, that it's because it was the Giants. The final two plays of the drive where the Cowboys got the go-ahead touchdown, I would say that Tony Romo combined for 15 seconds of protection. The O-line for the Cowboys, stupid good in this exchange all the way around, delivers the strike to Dez Bryant, bam. Look, the Giants were the problem, Chris. You're right. 5 plays for 20 yards or more, 4 of them either setting up or actually being a touchdown completion themselves. I mean, as far as the game goes, the Giants were still able to move the football well, 11 for 16 on third down, 68% superior to the Cowboys, 40%. They were 3 for 4 in the red zone, but a pick thrown by Eli Manning who let an errant ball sail. This wasn't a really bad one. The receiver at least tipped it, and it landed into the hands of the Cowboy defender. But as nice of a catch as that may have been, oh, by the way, a lot more balanced offense from the Cowboys. DeMarco Murray, 24 carries for 121 yards as well, while Romo went 18 for 26, 279 yards, and 4 touchdowns. Number of interceptions, absolutely zero. Did, however, lose a fumble on the day. Eli's numbers are still good. If you, the interceptions there, of course, but 3 touchdowns, 338 yards on 29 of 48 attempts. Not bad. Not a bad game. Nearly 75% was Eli. But look, okay, everyone's talking about it. The Odell Beckham catch. I get it. I lost the game. It didn't really mean anything in the long run. But as just an act of athletic prowess, nothing beats this. Folks, if you haven't seen it, Google the stuff.
YouTube, it's pretty much on like a lot of places.
Just Google the damn thing. Google Odell Beckham catch.
Just go to ESPN, and it's right there on the main page. You can just click on it.
Okay, the point is, if you can't find it, you're the problem. It's an IB10T error. Write it down. You know what I'm talking about. But, I mean, would you say, well, he catches it with his thumb, his middle finger, over his head, like behind his head?
There are a lot of different views for it. And there's one of them that, where you can see that when he was going back to grab the catch, what happened was his fingertips, you could see them wrap around the ball,
mm-hmm.
but in between the ball and the ball in his fingertips, the palm was not touching.
Yeah, it was just the fingers, right. It was, yeah. It was crowned around, yeah.
So it's a pretty crazy catch, and a lot of people are calling it the best catch ever.
Okay, well, hey, let's take it right to it. Is it indeed the best catch ever? Chris?
I didn't know because it didn't change the outcome of the game.
Weasel?
I'd say like one of those athleticism, and it's one of the best catches like that, but like a most difficult catch, I would say. But it was just that things like Tyree from the Giants.
Catch, yes.
He had the helmet catch, and the thing was
the fact that you didn't have to say Tyree from the Giants. You could have just said Tyree helmet catch. Proves why that will over time be a better catch.
The difference between the two, though, was that that was on a third down or maybe even fourth down in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And this one, I think it got the Giants. I think they ended up losing, yeah. But the actual catch was, I thought, you know, it was awesome. So a lot of people are loving on it. So, but it was very difficult, but the best ever? I don't think so.
Yeah, and look, let's be clear. It deserved to blow up Twitter. It really did. It's fantastic. Okay, but I think you guys said it best. I'm going to try to put it another way to hit it home, okay? What's something you're going to see every year around Super Bowl time? The Tyree helmet catch. You'll see this maybe on YouTube every now and again. It's up there with Flippin' Jerome Simpson. And nobody knows who Flippin' Jerome Simpson is unless I remind them. Chris, look at me kind of confused for a second.
Yeah,
I got that thing.
I'm just saying, another time you'll see it is when they do the SP awards, when they do the sports science, they'll have a sports science on the catch, just like they did for UCF J.J. Wharton last year. He won the catch of the year with a one-handed against Temple, which is, I think, I always like watching the sports science, you know, the ball being thrown this way or whatever.
Super. Yeah, those are great. I like those too. But yeah, other than just being an all-out freak show, completely pointless to the outcome, obviously. Maybe that's Eli's fault for throwing that pick late in the game. Who knows? It wasn't Eli's fault that the Giants lost the game. He delivered the ball to a Giant. He just did not make the line to gain. And, yeah, ball game 38-21. Cowboys continue to do their thing leading into the Thanksgiving matchup with the Eagles for an early lead in the division. Another game that had some importance on it. Look, I didn't think there would be a lot to the Dolphins-Broncos game, but there was a lot to the Dolphins-Broncos game. Sure, the Broncos won. We all knew that would happen. 39-36 is the shocking part. Let me read these stat lines for you, boys. 26-36 passing, 228 yards, 3 touchdowns and interception, or 28-35, 257 yards with 4 touchdowns. Which one is Peyton Manning?
I guess Peyton Manning's not going to be the 4 touchdown one.
Oh, he is the 4 touchdown
one. See, I misled you because Ryan Tannehill had a running touchdown. You would know immediately it wasn't Peyton Manning. But what I'm trying to say, gentlemen, is this. Ryan Tannehill didn't blow this game, Dolphin fans. He's a good quarterback. Accept it.
And we got you over 30 points in fantasy.
Bingo. 5 for 5 in the red zone were the Miami Dolphins on the day. And yes, Ryan Tannehill, expletive deleted. So, Javon Landry had 2 touchdowns for Dolphins. Manuel Sanders for the Broncos, 4 catches, 125 yards. Demaryius Thomas, 10 catches for 87 with 3, count them, 3 touchdowns. Third down percentage for the Dolphins was good at 50%, but 9 of 13 makes 69%. All right, that's obviously more than 50. And 5 red zone scores for the Broncos. The problem is they were there 8 times. At the end of the day, there's just too many damn weapons for the Dolphins defense to try to stop. They come up just short. Don't forget, balance to the Broncos offense. 27 carries for CJ Anderson, 167 yards with a touchdown. Also had 4 catches for 28 as well. Look, when you're spread that thin, sometimes you're not going to get all the flavor you need on the bread. And, as much as Dolphin fans may not want to hear the excuse, because Peyton Manning, that's all I got. That's all I got, man. Anyways, Next on the list of the game that I was most looking forward to, or so I thought until I realized I couldn't see it. Thanks, Florida. The Cardinals go to CenturyLink Field and visit the Seattle Seahawks. They're so indomitable and superior and awesome. On defense, definitely the case. 3 points only were scored by the Cardinals, and the Seattle Seahawks win 19-3. Certainly not an impressive win, but a win nonetheless. It's solid. I mean, look, you're playing against both defenses are amazing. The Cards defense was a little less amazing, one would argue. Russell Wilson went 17-22 in the air, 211 yards with a touchdown. Also had 10 carries for 73 yards, a complete threat right there. Andre Ellington, by comparison, only had 10 carries for 24 yards. That will not provide balance that Stanton needs to lead this team. 14-26 was he, 149 yards with an interception. While the Seahawks did horrible in the red zone, 1-for-5, they're getting there and at least getting field goals where the Cards were pretty much useless. They only converted 3-of-12 on third down. Not that the Seahawks were better with 5-for-13, but, you know, because field position, that's important.
The Cards were also out Larry Fitzgerald. He's out living in the
That could be important.
Yeah.
I mean, that kind of hurt. But he's better than a lot of what they got. I mean, you know, we've not heard the last of them. We would say about the Cardinals, they have, of course, to play both the Niners and Seahawks later on in the schedule. Well, let's get to it, gentlemen. It is that time once again. Let's get to that study hall. How crappy am I this week?
Well,
I'm probably going to be down another game since I heard the Bills were winning.
We did better this week than we did last week. Last week I was 50% after the Monday night game, and you and Weaver were both 6-8 last week. So this week I'm 10-3. You and Weaver are both 9-4 going into both games tonight. As me and Weaver have the Bills, you pick the Jets. Bills are up 14-3 right now.
Damn it!
And me and you pick the Ravens, and Weaver pick the Saints. So still could have the one-game lead on Weasel, or you'll be one down.
And I'll be back behind you, though.
Correct.
I don't even think I was even up on you fools back when I was dominating you the one year. I mean, wait, we have some seven-game lead?
It's actually six right now, going into the two games tonight. So.
But I'm psyching. I don't know. Anyways.
All right. Thanksgiving, we got the Bears at the Lions.
Anybody?
Okay. Everybody Lions?
I'll pick the Bears.
Really?
Yep.
Okay, look, if you pick the Lions here, Amanda won't judge you, I promise.
I know. But
is it because her family will be in town?
It's a little bit, you know, contrarian, but...
It's a lot of bit contrarian!
The thing is that I think the offense for the Bears, it may be back, so why not?
It may be bad.
Last week.
You'll take the lead. You'll take the win.
Woo! It doesn't give me a damn thing on track.
All right, we got the Eagles at the Cowboys. This is very tough. You know what? I'm going to do it anyway. I'm going to go Cowboys because neither team I like, but kind of hate the Cowboys a little more than the Eagles, so... Cowboys lose, I still win.
You know, I can't front on that, but it's still kind of ridiculous. I mean, here's the thing. The Cowboys have a better offense, the Cowboys have a better defense, and the Eagles special teams would keep it close. That's if they weren't starting backup Mark Sanchez at quarterback, and it is that final piece that will make this close game fall in favor of the Dallas Cowboys. Weasel.
I got the Cowboys.
But the Bears seem like a good idea to you.
Hey, we shall see.
You know, I'm going to talk about this next. Watch. I'm going to get my butt kicked on the air next week in these rows.
Then late Thursday night, we got the Seahawks at the Niners. Neither team's impressive on offense. Both have a decent defense.
Better than decent.
Right. I want to pick the Niners. They're playing at home. You know, they usually have a better chance at home. But that, just their offense hasn't looked all that great. I'm going with Niners.
Yeah, that's how it's gone in the series, is that the home team's been winning for the past couple of years. That's how it's worked. Right. They split based on home field. Here's what I know. The Seahawks in order to win, have to not be one-dimensional. The 49ers, in order to win, have to actually score in the red zone and deal with the irony that one of their colors is red, and yet they sub when the red zone happens. I'm still trying to figure that out, but whatever. The point is this. I have more faith in the Niners' defense making the Saints one-dimensional than I do in the... No, I'm taking it backwards. I have more faith that the Niners will actually score a couple in the red zone. And remember that 7 is more than 3. Touchdowns better than a field goal. Then I believe the Seahawks will be a balanced offense. And if they both fail at their job, I'm giving it to the home field advantage. I have the Niners losing.
Well, even though...
I explained it so well, no one said homer. Boom.
Even though the Seahawks do have, you know, like a terrible wide receiver class. They
so terrible, they're even talking about putting Richard Sherman at receiver in certain plays.
Golden State even said, yeah, they miss me, and they miss Percy Harvin.
Exactly.
So, but, you know, we'll see how the Seahawks defense does. They were impressive last week. But I am picking Seattle.
Damn it.
Next game, we got the Skins at the Colts.
Anybody?
Got Colts?
Yeah.
We got the Texans.
Makes less sense than the Bears, I guess.
We got the Titans at the Texans. I'm going with J.J. Watt and the Texans. No, without Ryan Mallett.
Look here. The only reason why I'm going into picking this game is so I can talk about J.J. Watt eating some Mettenbergers for lunch, Piazza. I have the Texans.
Texans versus who?
Titans. I even said Mettenberger. I mean, burger.
Yeah, I'll go with the Titans.
Titans?
Titans?
Yeah.
Okay, Weasel, you're not supposed to let Chris win.
Hey, who's going to be their quarterback?
That Mettenberger.
Burger.
Oh, right.
For the Titans, right? Yeah, the Texans. Who's going to be their quarterback?
Fitzpatrick is still better than Mettenberger.
Okay, yeah, maybe that was a little dumb, but move on.
They're actually trying out Bad Lewis this week.
Oh, that's compelling.
Bad.
Thaddeus.
Hey, that
Thaddeus
did a
good job. Next, you got the, speaking of the Bills, we got the Browns at the Bills.
Cool.
So this one's a little tough. I'm gonna go Browns.
I think with the confidence that they gained in overcoming that near miss, if there is such a thing as a hit. A near miss is a hit, right? Anyway, but spectacular, Carmen. But in my eyes, I think barely sneaking by that Falcons game will give them the confidence they need to overcome that Bills defense. I have the Browns, Weasel.
I have the Browns also.
Not that one, Ryan, I guess.
We got Chargers and Ravens. We don't know what's going on with tonight's game with the Ravens, so... yes, the Chargers won the other day, but I'm going to go Ravens.
I don't blame you. The Chargers have taken over the title of the prom date team. They know how to score and can't stop anyone from doing it. However, because Joe Flacco, Flacco or the fraud, look at that. But even you know, maybe I'm setting myself to be a victim of fraud once again, but I got the Chargers, Weasel.
Okay, you picked the Chargers?
I did.
Okay.
That's what it means when I said I got the Chargers, Weasel.
Okay, all right. I'll pick the Chargers.
See, he's trying to get strategic there. I'm already going to lose 5 days this week. I've got to be careful.
Yeah, but I want Ravens.
Well.
Next game, I'll be in attendance to get the Giants and the Jags. I really want to pick the Jags on this one. I really do, but I got the Giants.
Yeah, I do as well. The Giants are still a good football team. They've had a lot of adversity with injuries and stuff throughout the year, and are dealing with a new coaching scheme. Hopefully, maybe they'll keep it around one more year. I don't know, but I have the Giants. We will.
I have the Giants, too.
Next, you get the Bengals at the Bucks. Yeah. Everyone says Bengals.
I mean, look, I know the Bengals are, you know, an identity crisis, but...
Yeah.
Next, you get the Raiders at the Rams. Right now, we don't know if Latavius Murray is back, but if he can come back from the concussion, then he already said he's going to be the starter. Can you run against the Rams front four? Rams are an interesting team. You don't know how they're going to play. Same thing with the Raiders. I'm going to go Rams, though.
I'm going Rams, even though Derek Carr makes a compelling case. Going into this week, 11 touchdowns of 20 yards or more, tied for second in the league, if I remember correctly, behind the Patriots. That's kind of a predicament. Maybe it was Searchlight. I don't know. The fact that it was a Raider that had 11 touchdowns for 20 yards or more is absolutely stupid. Yeah, that's right. It combines two moves. The point is this. I have the Rams, but if the Raiders got their one, they're going to the left. I think the Rams are sick that they let one go against the Chargers myself.
Loser.
I get the Rams also.
Then we get the Saints at the Steelers. Neither team's all that impressive. I think it's going to crunch time now for the Saints. They're going to start showing up. Right. Yeah. I mean, the way the AFC North is right now, but, I mean, the Saints could start getting their act together and start pulling away from the NFC South. So I'm going to Saints.
If the Steelers are balanced on offense, they will win this game. And it's not in the Superdome. I have the Steelers. Steelers.
I got the Steelers also.
I'm creeping up.
You got the Panthers at the Vikings. The Panthers coming off of a bye. Maybe they'll get their defense a little better. I'm going Panthers.
I'm going Vikings. The Panthers are already going to have a complete and total lack of confidence going into the bye. All they did was look awful and lose a game that they probably should have won against the Falcons, if I remember correctly. The point is this. Cam Newton has no help and he's getting all the blame. And when you have a guy that actually cares about his craft, like Cam Newton, I don't care if he has the would-be rookie of the year or not, and Kelvin Benjamin, that defense is awful. I have Bridgewater and the Vikings. Weasel.
I'll get the Vikings also.
I might have talked him into it.
Crap. Next, you got the Cards at the Falcons.
Anybody?
Yeah, I got Cards.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. So much for that third
ball. Next game. Could be a Super Bowl game. You get the Patriots at the Packers. Both teams are playing pretty well. Just the way the Patriots' offense and defense is playing lately, I'm going to go with the Patriots.
You know, and I was just writing in the Matchup Mania about this game today. It'll be up tomorrow on NGSC Sports tomorrow night, so you can have it Wednesday while you are at work for the final day before Thanksgiving or traveling for your Thanksgiving plans, whatever they may be. Think about it. The Packers and the Patriots are pretty much the same team. Here's what I mean. Top-flight quarterback, mediocre offensive line, enough of a running game to provide talent, and select weapons in the air to take it all from. Rodgers, Lacy, Jordy Nelson, Randall Cobb, Packers. Brady, Blunt now, Gronk, and who the hell else he decides to throw the ball to on the Patriots side. Defensively, they rely on key players as well to make the difference. Here's the problem. Gronk and Blunt will keep the key players for the Packers, right? Julius Peppers and Clay Matthews far too busy to watch or do anything or concentrate on doing anything else. If they attempt to attack Brady, he's going to hit him with Gronk. For that reason, I got the pass. Loser.
Well, let's see. What do you get?
After that breakdown, you still got nothing, huh?
I will pick the Packers. It's going to be one of those games where the scores, I think both teams are going to score over like 20, 24 points. And it's going to be a shootout. So, Packers.
So, that was a great explanation, Kyle. Suck. Chris.
Next, you got the Broncos at the Chiefs. There's going to be no Eric Berry. Peyton will have a little more field to go downfield. And also, last time they played against each other earlier in the season, the Broncos needed a defensive stand to win the game. They won't this time. I got the Broncos.
Yeah, for me, Eric Berry is important, but I don't think he's the difference here. I think the biggest factor is the front. What will Tom Bahali, Justin Houston and company, and Don Tyree Hill, always going to mention Don Tyree Hill because he's awesome, do to attack both C.J. Anderson in the run game and keep Peyton Manning moving? Hey, guys, newsflash. A quarterback that's almost 40 years old and has been stone-footed throughout his career and had four neck injuries might have a little trouble throwing on the run. Yeah. Apparently, that freaks out the freaking national media when that happens. I digress. What I mean to say is this. The key to both the games in 2013 was whether or not they could pressure Manning. They couldn't. This game was close. Chris mentioned they needed a defensive stand to win it, the Broncos. They did, but it was close because Manning was pressured. That's what makes this game tough. End of the day, I still have the horse head at the top of the division, and the Chiefs is one of the people that are the other end of the horse. I got the Broncos.
You got the Broncos also.
And then we got next Monday night, we got the Dolphins at the Jets. I'm going with Dolphins.
Dolphin? You know, this being a divisional game, this is really impossible to pick. This also being a divisional game that that the Dolphins are involved in, here's another factor.
It's a trap.
Okay.
It's a trap.
That's right. Admiral Akbar on blast because it's a freaking divisional game that the Dolphins need. There's a good chance they could choke on it. I don't pick it that way, but it could happen. It'll be closer than you think. I got the Saints. Weaver.
Got the Dolphins also.
Damn it. We didn't go contrarian. I was trying.
I'm trying.
And is that it?
That is it.
Okay, so that'll do it all the way around. Guys, I don't know. I mean, how many differences we have on the schedule this week? Because I heard a lot.
Yeah.
I heard a lot of stuff. This is going to be – we always have that key week where someone blows something up.
Seven. Seven.
Damn.
Seven games?
Seven games different.
So, change.
Both of them are mine, but seven.
I'm pleased enough. God, I hope so.
Why did I pull away now? I mean, like,
shut up!
Totally
died! Wait. No. Damn. Anyways. Damn it. Of course, we got an awesome time bringing you the action that was Week 12 upcoming. Look out, people. Coming up on playoff time. Things will be important. Of course, from all of us here at the Students of Game and NGS Sports, have a happy Thanksgiving. You'll hear me on Thanksgiving with Montel Hardy. Performing the cold front, NFC North, AFC North football, just the way you like it. And that'll be a good time all the way around. But until next time, everybody, we'll be back next week on December 1st. Class dismissed.